So welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is one podcast where every single thing we do, we say, we express aims to support you becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm actually super pumped and excited to reveal that it's coming from an inspiration of a question posed by one of you powerful, amazing kingly brothers around the planet. I'm keeping the name confidential because I haven't got a confirmation email back, but I wanted to launch on it. One of you powerful guys, I'll be emailing the man directly on himself, so you will get to get the full response, which is this episode is my full response to your question. I'm excited about it because it's a recent development. As those of you that have been following the podcast, I've introduced, you know, there's at the end of every episode, there's a voice message facility that you can send me a voice message. I think it's up to 90 seconds. You can send me a message, feedback, you know, what's live, what was most live for you in a certain episode, what comes up for you. But I do also want to invite, like, this powerful heroic husband that sent in a direct question, you know, a little bit of context about the situation and sent me a direct question and asked me for that, what my response was. This is a massive service I want to put available to you guys, which is you're serving me, I can serve you potently and actually with incredible power. You know, you get my whole experience and knowledge and know-how. I will take time, take your question, read into the context. I'll develop an episode around it to not only give you the most powerful answer, but every single guy who sends in a question. And this is like in deep men's work, when one guy speaks to, you know, a certain situation in his marriage or in his life, it's guaranteed in a room of 10 guys, like the room, this room, it's a digital room of hundreds of guys around the planet. It's going to be a ton of guys, if not all the guys, will get some value from it because we all resonate very deeply with the shares of other men. So it's a really potent way. So my encouragement is listen into today's episode, but, you know, every episode you're listening in, and if there's a certain episode or a certain issue going on in your marriage, in your sex life, in your communication, your extended married life, you just can't bring the whole thing into balance, whatever, please do use that voice message facility. It's there to serve you and it serves me because you send me an issue. It does the work for me. I get to know exactly how I can serve you guys in the most potent way. And I get, you know, a weekly episode. It solves an issue for me. So with that regard, what the questioner and the context was, and it was very eloquently put, this is what the heroic husband messaged me in verbatim or word by word. Every time my wife and I argue about things, she has to bring up the last 10 to 12 things I disappointed her on. How do I respond to that? And how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? I'm just going to slowly read that again, and I want you to digest it because this is such a common issue for guys in conflict, in arguments in marriage. Most guys on some way, shape or form experience this, if not all guys, until you get really on top of your deep intimate communication style, you get like conscious communication in as a grounded repeatable process. This comes up very often. Every time my wife and I argue about things, she has to bring up the last 10 to 12 things I disappointed her on. How do I respond to that? And how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? Man, this is like universal. Again, thank you for the amazing heroic husband for vulnerably and courageously sharing this request and stimulating this response. You're serving everybody. As with everything I do, I always build in context. I want to build in like a platform of context and then answer the question. And I know some of you can go, just answer the damn question. It's all in the context. Context is everything First of all, the context is I can empathize absolutely to the depths of my being. When I listened to this voice message, I sort of had a smile on my face, but like a knowing smile of, oh my God, that was me too. Like for 12 years, the amount of times when getting stuck in an argument, and then, you know, especially times, you know, like when I was trying to make a point, and it's like my point was back answered, was battled down by, yeah, but, and then fill in the blank, you know, my wife, my queen. At those times, I definitely was not defining her so eloquently and lovely, you know, my queen, my goddess. No, in those moments, I mean, emotionally, it's hurtful. I remember, you know, the feelings, what I can now touch base of, like feeling rejected, feeling deeply frustrated, at times feeling a massive rage in me, like a rage and an aggressive sort of an attacking energy in me. Most of the time it went unspoken. Sometimes it just would explode and be like, ah, just stop bringing up the goddamn past with curses and name calling. And it just got really, really dramatic. And I, for so long, never knew how to deal with this. So, you know, to the powerful Roy Cosman sending this in, man, I can empathize, but I'm quite sure, like, I know for a fact, a lot of guys listening in can empathize, can feel, you know, your pain, and because it's such a common issue. I call it like past projectile vomiting. And it can work both ways. Let's get truthful and honest here. Like, I want to, part of the context here always is taking 100% extreme ownership. It can work both ways, and that's probably part of the solution as well, is just make sure that you're in full integrity with your communications, that you never bring up the past when your queen is making a point to you, that you don't go, yeah, but, you know, X, Y, and Z from 1 week ago, 1 month ago, and do you remember back then, like 7 years ago when we got together and you did this? You know, as a defense mechanism to avoid just taking responsibility for the feedback you're being given, for the point that's been put on your table, just make sure that you're in integrity. As always, and repetition is mastery, you know, I always come from deep intimate relating in marriage is a 100%, 100%, well, that's the foundation of it. It's a 200% game, not a 50-50 game. 50-50 is bullshit. Those of you who have heard me saying it again, you know, I really want you, I invite you to listen into this with a beginner's mindset, with like a completely open mind. If you're hearing it again, bring that freshness in and let that deepen that wisdom. So often as men, we're like, oh, intellectually, oh, well, Mark, I heard that. Yeah, I know the whole 100%. I do that. Well, you would not be listening to the podcast in many senses if you were doing that in an embodied sense, because 100% embodied extreme ownership, like, eliminates like all the ills of marriage conflict and dysfunctionality, etc., etc. It's like has a miraculous power. So if you intellectually think you've nailed it, you know, drop down, remain humble, and take it on and repeat it in your mind. Take this into the fabric of your life as a way of life, that you're only focusing on your 100%. Always, does your woman have wounds that you can see, that you know of her past, etc., etc., that plays a part in horror, maybe projecting it back in your face and avoiding, and, you know, trying to avoid, you know, some truths that you're putting her way. Yes, absolutely yes. It's an unavoidable part of marriage. Like, wounded attracts wounded. That's no negative term with you. I think my deepest feeling is pretty much in modern life, because of a profoundly sick society, out of balance with nature, with our own nature, with our highest selves, etc., 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 we're all wounded. So yes, your woman, your queen, your goddess, she does have wounds. Do they get triggered? Yes. Is there work that she could do that could improve your marriage? Yes. But I greet you all as kingly brothers. This is about the king archetype. The king archetype is all in on taking extreme ownership of your thinking, your talking, and your taking action, and your energetic plate that you serve those creative tools on. And from there, you can transform your entire relationship. It's the only one I will ever speak to. Because it puts you in the driving seat to become that marriage transforming hero, rather than the same shit, different day, roundabout bullshit of like fucking shit back in whorefish, she does it to you, etc., etc., etc. The 100% foundation under your feet, it sort of is founded on asking one question in marriage. You know, in this point, it's like, you know, my wife keeps throwing it back to me during arguments, the last 10 or 12 things I did to disappoint her. How do I respond to that, and how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? Your grounding thing always, no matter what the issue is where am I not taking my responsibility as a man? I say the word responsibility, hyphenated, responsibility, to emphasize, remind you that it's your ability to choose a new response that will influence the situation to, you know, transform to a more ideal situation that'll be more conducive to connection and feeling love and feeling togetherness, rather than the disconnection of having 10 to 12 things being fucked back in your face repeatedly, or whatever your unique version is of that. So that's always a grounding question. Another general point, and this is really important in this situation, but it does extend out into all issues in marriage. On the deepest level, when you go into deep masculine, feminine, sacred teachings, and your woman, no matter how dysfunctional your relationship has been, no matter, you know, sometimes you can really build a picture in your head, which is part of the issue, actually, you know, of judging your woman as being totally out of whack. She's completely irrational, etc., etc. She's batshit crazy. You could stick all different types of labels on her internally or externally, and you can get really fixed in that. That's actually part of the issue. However, underneath all of that sort of avoidant, blaming, you know, mentality in your mind, which we all do to some way, shape or form, beyond that, when you really look at mechanistically what's happening or what is not happening, is, I really want you to hear this, your wife is not disappointed you have not been perfect. Her deepest disappointment as a woman is that you haven't demonstrated deepening progress and presence as a result of your learnings. Your woman, your queen, your goddess, she doesn't want or expect perfection. What she does yearn is progress and presence, and as a result of your learnings. I'm going to tie this around, but your learnings are the last 10 to 12 things I have disappointed her on. And of course, I'm speaking to one guy, but by extension, guys, vicariously, you know, lean in. Like, what's your version of this extending, expanding list of things that your wife has a library in her mind on? She just opens up the file and go, hey, yeah, you were guilty of that crime that day, that day, that day, that day, that day, and five times that day. That was like just one day when I thought I was going to fucking pack my bags and leave or change the locks in the doors. You know, definitely in dysfunctional relating, you know, the protective response is to have that file of past memories that you can avoid with. They're learnings. Now, what you did with those learnings, how did you respond to the 10 and 12 times when she inevitably gave you feedback those times, in those 10 or 12 times, when, yeah, hey man, you fucked up. We all fuck up. By the way, it's okay to screw up. It's okay. There again, a lot of the times, the major issue, and going general, building context, we are our own worst enemies. We have learned that perfection is what we're trying to give, and we beat the shit out of ourselves when we're not perfect, and we suffer an immense amount of rejection, and we feel really judged and criticized when we get any bit of feedback. 99% of the time, this goes back to childhood. And this is the unsexy part of the answer to the one heroic husband that posed the question, but to, you know, every single man, which is nearly, I believe, most guys in this digital room listening in, we all have our own versions of it. The unsexy part is, you know, 99%, here's what I put, 99% of issues in marital conflict comes from the man fearing negative feedback and associating it with him being inadequate as a man. We end up psychologically avoiding the feminine shitstorm, but that's what actually unwittingly brings the fullest fury of the shitstorm from within your wife. You know, think about it at work, you know, in marriage. I'm going to go to more of the specifics on it quite soon now. Stay with me. But think about it in work. You know, sometimes, actually, a lot of times when I end up coaching guys will come in and it's okay, man. I got really sort of caught in the shitty bits of marriage. And in so many times, I look back, it was like, with love and with affection and with acceptance for myself, it's like, man, when I look back, it's like I got so small-minded. And I was so small-minded. And ultimately, from a psychotherapeutic way, it was like my inner child was hurting and I was avoiding left, right, and center pain, but I did it in a dysfunctional way. That's like the root of all of the mystical teachings, psychotherapy, fucking, it doesn't matter what approach you look at it, we end up getting small-minded. Because we're trying to, you know, from the Buddhist perspective, we're trying to avoid suffering and, you know, gain happiness. But it's in our avoidance of any type of suffering that we bring the most suffering on top of ourselves. It's this paradox. In 99.9% of the cases, the driving factor behind this type of presentation, as reported in to me by voice message, it's coming from undealt with childhood wounds, predominantly with your mother. So that's the deeper driving forces. But guys coming to me, to make that point full, guys coming to me, you know, as I was saying, like for so many years, I look back, I was so small-minded. We can get so small-minded and unwittingly caught up in nitty-gritty, and it just gets like shit, flinging shit between ourselves in marriage. You know, like you're just there disgruntled with your wife and you're resentful and you're infuriated by her, and like you don't know where the love has gone. You're married 10 years and it's just slowly but surely slipping away. There's more and more disconnection, and it just becomes a cesspit of sort of shit, like, and it's just not feeling right and you don't know how to bring it back. And she probably has her version of like marriage isn't living up to her expectations. She doesn't know how to correct it. Yet, so often, the guys that I coach, the guys in men's work, other relationships, by and large, can go quite good. You'd never bring the type of, and like calling it for what it is, I'm not your wife, I'm not your mother, but it's like if we get really real with ourselves, you'd never bring the level of immaturity to, you know, the boardroom table when the CEO of the company is there, the board of directors, you know, the marketing team, whatever it is, you know, like, or you're the principal in the school, or your club. I mean, you're the secretary for the club. It's a role of responsibility. All the people, you know, love, trust and respect are around you. You wouldn't bring the level of emotional immaturity to those realms, to those environments. You know, you'd grind in. You'd remain with some level of core grounding in yourself and structure a lot of the times. So It's also just to call ourselves out. Like, do you find that very often, you know, you bring, like, the marriage brings out the worst in you, but somehow, even though it's quite complex out in the everyday world, you can somehow bring a higher level of communication and clarity and speaking your truth in the world. It's not always the case, but a lot of the times, guys bring sort of, they allow the lesser side, the shadow side, like sort of permeate their marriage because they sort of realize, man, you know, if you're the boss in the company, people would not trust you. They'd probably leave your workplace if you brought that, the same level of, you know, emotional intelligence from your married life into work. And if you're there and you're a worker, like you're being employed, you could get fired or you'd never get a promotion if you brought that level of, you know, sort of hypersensitive emotional reactivity to it. Sometimes emotional reactivity is just permeating your whole life and you're blaming your wife and you're blaming the world and you're blaming your boss for not being sensitive. That can be another thing. It can be your way of relating with the world. Bringing it all home and getting a little bit more down into the strategy and the, like, how you can face and embrace this issue. The second part is, you know, how do I respond to that and how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? Within the context, you'd probably get there, you know, the second part of that, how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? This is like, very often, like, we want to control our woman. We, in our rational minds, see certain behaviors that we dislike, are displeasurable in her. She raises her voice. In this case, you know, she expresses her disappointment she reminds you incessantly every single time of the last 10 to 12 things you have done that disappointed her. We see a behavior we don't approve of. It feels like shit when she brings that behavior and we want to change it. We want that behavior to stop. That makes sense. That's, we want to bring a level of control to that behavior. Like a lot of guys, like if it's like, Mark, do I have a magic wand? You know, like a lot of times, you know, we want a simple fix. You know, how do I respond to that? How do I keep her on point for the disagreement we are having? You know, a lot of times we would like, Mark, what's the one magic sentence to say that would just get her to stop and listen? If that exists as such a sentence, I have not heard it. This is predominantly about energetics. It's about your energy. And if that's a bit woo-woo for you, it's energy is energy in motion, emotion. It's emotional. It's your subconscious mind is driving all your interactions. So how to keep her on point for the disagreement we're having? It's not about controlling her. It's about self-mastery first and then marital mastery second. This is like the masculine, feminine. So often, just a reminder, repetition is mastery. Masculine, feminine, you know, very often, even with guys that I have been with guys that are like a couple of years in deep men's work, they, you know, they declare that they have a lot of knowledge to speak masculine, feminine principles into their everyday language in men's work. But they really get caught up in this idea and it happens very commonly. It's like, oh, masculine pole, that's the man, husband in our context, in our movement, in this podcast. The feminine pole is the woman. But there's a level that's missed in that. The primary masculine and feminine that you need to hold space for, or you have no influence on the external feminine. Primary masculine, feminine is the masculine and feminine relationship inside of you. That's primary. This is like essential to gaining any power, not of control over your woman, but of positive influence. You do want, like, self-mastery brings a level of positive influence over your environment. And people in your environment is a very important part of that. As a husband, you definitely want to be able to have a power of positive influence that man, if you can navigate like with such self-mastery that you can bring a smile on your woman's face, and in a moment like this where, yeah, conflict happens, cool, there's two different points of view, if you can reach such a level of inner self-mastery that the masculine in you, your thinking and all your directionality, all the beautiful masculine gifts, you're holding space and presence, and the feminine, you're able to hold space for the emotional risings and, yeah, actually the unpredictable thoughts that are coming is more a feminine part of you. If you can hold space for that and keep yourself together and grounded and fully present, no matter what's happening, yeah, you're feeling rejection, there's tons of thoughts, there's old judgments, but you're present in the middle of it all. So you're holding space within the primary, within yourself, the masculine, feminine inside of you, you're grounded, and then you speak, and then you receive feedback. Your woman will be feeling way more safe around you. So you're not trying to control. Stop trying to control your wife's behavior. Your power of influence always is knuckling down and gaining self-mastery of inner control in marriage, primary masculine, feminine, grounded self-mastery, and then the positive influence. It's piss simple after that. This is nothing. Like, this is universal, guys. You think about it, like the best UFC fighters. Self-mastery first. Conor McGregor on the way up, he knocked the guys out of their self-mastery, out of their grounded awareness of what the fuck was happening inside of him, in them, as he was grounded in himself, in his confidence. He gained inner control. Then Khabib came along and fucked him out of his control, as Khabib had primary masculine, feminine control. Do you see it? As it's a universal thing. It happens in nature. It's universal. So going to that deeper level, you know, how do I respond to that? How do I keep her on point? Well, the first part of the sentence, what I'm hearing here is, if there's a long list of discretions, of things you've disappointed your woman on, and, you know, to all the guys listening in, you know, whatever, if your woman has a list of times when you screwed up, you made a mistake, maybe some big mistakes, very costly, down to you forgot the milk, or you repeatedly forget to get the milk, or the thing on the way home from work, and that pisses her off, the first thing here is to clean up breaches of integrity. One of the biggest errors in most husbands is that they don't take integrity, their integrity as a husband, as a man of focus and presence, an embodied presence. Remembering, embodied presence and mindfulness is the masculine core practice. If you come into deep men's work, like, that's what turns your woman on. Oh man, he's just so present. I tell him the thing once, he listens, he locks in, it gets done. I tell him that one thing, you know, hey Tom or hey Mark, you know, it's like, when you say that thing, that just, it's so infuriating. And even if, you know, she says the thing and she's pissed off and it's nasty the way she's saying it, but when you're present, you won't get so swayed. You won't feel so much rejection. You won't get knocked off your feet. You're like an oak tree. Your presence, you're rooted into the ground of the present moment. And you will be able, from that still inner calm, to pick out what is the message that she's trying to get home. It's a messy first draft. You lock in on the message, what she's saying, that it's hurting her. And it's, you will bring about a change. And that's the progress. But if your woman, I guarantee, and this is like in so much experience firsthand, I remember avoiding so much, and like my queen would bring up this list and say, oh, but you didn't do that, and you remember that time, and it's like, I felt so much disappointment, and I felt so much shame, and I felt so disempowered. But calling myself eventually out in my own bullshit, and listen into this, guys, if this is true for you, I never owned up. I never, and like, you know, I might have said, oh, I'm sorry for that. But sorry isn't worth fucking shit to a powerful woman. You know, remember the context. And I know it works both ways, but you're the man she at some point went, yes, honey, you know, I do you know, or like you said, I do in church, and everybody's like, oh, look at them, and everybody's happy, and you go off on your honeymoon. She committed to you. She actually declared to you, to the world, to the universe, this is the man for me. And if you're like myself for years, and you build up this long list of mistakes, it's not the mistakes that hurts. It's not that you've screwed up, that she's keeping this filing cabinet and that she brings out every argument. It's that you might say sorry, but it's lip service. You end up repeating the same type of mistake. You don't take extreme ownership, lock in and go, hey, honey, I love that feedback. So I did this thing. It really pissed you off. How did that make you feel? Oh, you really feel rejected and you felt really like abandoned when I, you know, I forgot to send you that message when I knew my meeting went over at work. I could have and should have, in hindsight, you know, sent you a message. Just excuse myself from the meeting. Takes 30 seconds. They'll actually respect me all the more, the people in the meeting, going, hey, I'm out of time integrity with my wife. I just want to send her a quick voice message and then I'll be back and fully present with you. You know, you're in integrity with everybody. Honey, I get that. So I'm going to set an if then that if I'm ever, you know, out of my own control, if I'm late at work, I will send you a message. So I'm in integrity with you communication wise. And hey, look, I'm sorry that it happened this time, but it won't happen again. And here's the thing. You fucking make sure it doesn't happen again. And I'm getting sort of like, this is boot camp style. You know, myself for years, I got caught up. And, you know, this is a response to one query coming in. But, you know, for that one guy that's listening into it, I didn't get many details beyond. But I'm really building and answering this through broad experience now of like speaking with hundreds of guys and intimately knowing how it showed up in my own life. It's like this universal thing we do. A lot of times we get caught and sort of like, oh, I feel so inadequate. Like, oh, we take her feedback, but our nervous system starts perceiving it as stinging criticism. And we start avoiding it. But then the thing about it is feedback for a woman is one of her greatest gifts in marriage. You're in a man she loves. And if you, and it's pretty much guaranteed that if she has a filing cabinet of a long list of shit that she wants to remind you of, that means emotionally, psychologically, on a very deep level, she never felt that every time you screwed up, that you owned it and you owned it impeccably. So she feels that that topic, that time was dealt with with such integrity that she feels safe and it's done. She doesn't need to file it away. It happened. You're not perfect. You know, you mucked up. You forgot the message home. But you showed absolute presence. You owned your shit. And you established a new systematic way of going at it, which is progress. Okay, I can feel safe in this man's presence. I'm not looking for perfection, but I do have an absolute need that he demonstrates presence and progress. She wouldn't have that filing cabinet that she keeps repeatedly fucking back your way, reminding you of past errors, if you'd own them. I can guarantee you. Own them to the level I'm thinking of. You might claim that, oh, but I did. I said sorry, but like, did you show the progress? Or are there repeated recurrent patterns? I pretty much know how it goes. And so, cleaning up the breaches of integrity. You got to look back. This is like generic. Just go bird's eye view of the whole pattern in your marriage. If you have been avoiding taking responsibility, there's an energetic block. And I would say like a resentment in your wife. That is like, he says sorry, but it's lip service. He doesn't show progress and he's not present when I'm giving him the feedback. He's resistant. He can get resentful. He goes into closure. He takes it personal. He gets like so hypersensitive when I'm giving him feedback that what ends up happening, it forces her to get irritated where, you know, what might have been a simple sentence, hey, honey, I really felt you should have just sent me a message. I would have appreciated that. That's probably like a couple of weeks in. Even if it wasn't, if her wounds were such, I mean, if you didn't meet her with presence and progress as your default way of showing up as a man of integrity, remember, kingly brother, heroic husband. I'm stating those at the beginning of these episodes because I want you to lock in with an identity. You're an heroic husband. How does a heroic husband show up with absolute impeccability and integrity and with the intention to live into your fullest integrity? You don't have to be perfect, but you do own your shit and clean up your breaches of integrity. The second part, so the first part is cleaning up breaches of integrity. It can be if she repeatedly keeps bringing out from the drawer all of these mistakes from the past. Man, I do advise that it can be a thing to go back. It's like, hey, honey, I'm repeatedly, there's this pattern coming and you repeatedly remind me of these past discretions. Maybe we need to speak about them one by one. That time that happened, you know, I believe I said sorry at the time, but was there some part of that I didn't hear you fully or didn't see you fully for what your experience was, what your hurt, your rejection, how that like affected you as my beautiful wife? Bring love to it, bring connection, and bring a curiosity. Like the whole way, how do I get her to keep on point for the disagreement is about cleaning up the whole thing. You know, there's no one sentence. This is a way of life. This might sound complex, guys, but it actually, if you really go at it, it makes your life so simple. You know, it's a bit like I'm leaning in on business mentoring really in a big way, just really wanting to maximize. I knew I was very unskillful at it, and I accepted that. Like 12 months ago, I got deep mentoring. I've been diligently pursuing that. If you're not getting the results, you've got to have the humility to go, okay, that's on me. And then it can seem in the beginning, I know I got a bit overwhelmed. I'm like, wow, Jesus, there's so much to learn here. But it's like what I've been discovering is when I take the time and I have the humility and the courage to just knuckle down and learn the principles that work in business, funnily enough, my business is transforming in an incredibly, you know, predictable way. Every single week, every single month, there's better news coming in. More clients, more income, podcast numbers, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, oh, wow. Why? Because it's just taking the time to have the humility to apply the principles. It seems complex in the beginning, but man, it's infinitely more complex and difficult to just keep doing the same shit different day things that you learned as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, repeating them, regurgitating them as a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old till the point at which your wife divorces you, or you just live like a bullshit dysfunctional, needlessly dysfunctional relationship unhappily ever after. You know, if it seems complex, you're making it complicated because we have a resistance to actually just knuckling down and doing what's necessary. Cleaning up the breaches of integrity, major point. Number two, stop defensive avoidance. Reorient yourself that feedback is sacred. You want feedback. So to the guy coming in, it's like, hey, okay, there's this pattern of the 10 or 12. Well, instead of waiting for the next inevitable time, man, you've seen it. There's a pattern in your relationship, in your marriage, every argument, she hammers you with reminders of the last 10, 12 times. Turn it on its head. The main reason I can guarantee you is that there's some subconscious avoidance. You're avoiding it like the plague. You hate the feedback. You hate because it's inevitable. She's going to, you know, there's this pattern. She's going to hammer you even more. Anytime you speak, she's just going to like go off topic about the one topic you're trying to speak to, and it just complicates it and it's horrible for you. I get it. I empathize. But man, what I'm saying now puts you in the driving seat, not of controlling her, of bringing positive influence. I want you, instead of avoiding the flame of feedback, I invite you, I challenge you. You do what you want, but this will work and this transforms everything. Instead of avoiding it, face it head on. Don't wait to the next argument. See this pattern go as a man, as a kingly brother, as a heroic husband, just make a declaration within yourself. It's like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is bullshit. I'm going to create a change here. And instead of waiting for the next argument, you go to your woman and you go, hey, honey, I've actually realized, I was listening to this irritating Irish man fucking thinking he has his shit sorted. The Vita Husband, she brags about podcasts and I don't have my shit sorted, but I have noticed that this is infinitely more effective, not just in marriage, but in business and in all important relationships with humans. You face the flame of feedback and you proactively ask for it. You go, hey, honey, I've noticed when she's outside of conflict, there's no conflict. This is the best time to create a pattern change. Don't wait for the conflict. Conflict already. You're triggered. She's triggered. The worst of your personas and the avoidance strategies, the dysfunctional shit, it's all there. That's not the best time. It's not a very conducive time. Can you play a high-end game? Yes, of course. But in the beginning, for sure, it's better when, you know, maybe you're going out for a relaxed walk or you have like an afternoon together, you know, without the kids, you're out for a walk, you've had lunch together, things are relaxed, and then you go, hey, honey, I want to improve as a man. I want to show, like, use the key words, I want to show up with more presence and I want to progress as a man. Not just for you, albeit, you know, if me doing this for you makes your life easier and better and I'm easier to connect with as a husband, man, that's beautiful. But I just want to be a better man, to be honest. Man, already she probably wants to fucking, like, jump you, get the keys into the car, bring you home, take you to the bedroom for uttering those words. You're already ahead of the game. So, I'm fucking telling you. I mean, just, it's really, it's that transformative. So you sweeten her up with lovely words, but I don't mean sweeten her up like it's a technique, because you're revealing, you're showing up as a man. Her nervous system is probably, in this moment, it could be in a bit of a what the fuck moment. It's like, who is this human being in front of me? Did the aliens take him over? What's happening here? So she, don't say any shit with any expectation that she's going to smile and love you and, like, say, oh, good boy. Like, you know, you cleaned your bedroom as a fucking five-year-old. No, this is like full kingship. Her reaction, it doesn't matter. You're speaking because you want and you desire to come into integrity, into your fullest power as a man. That's independent of her giving you shit or not. You need to come in your greatest power because you want to be a better man, period. That's it. So you approach her in this relaxed time, in a safe time for both of you, and you say, I want more feedback from you. If I have not been safe in the past with feedback, I realize I probably have been avoiding it. I learned to avoid it when I was a kid. You know, I can't undo that, but I can only show up, you know, from this moment going forward, and I want feedback. So, baby, you know, what are the ways I'm showing up on a day-to-day basis that annoy you? I mean, she's probably smiling. She probably doesn't feel safe at this point because she's like, she probably has got like a bit of nasty tongue response from you. She's got emotional reactivity. Maybe you go the other side and it's passive aggressive. You just stonewall her. You've went silent before. Maybe you've got like so like really super sensitive about the whole thing and emotionalized that she just hates giving you feedback and that has got her triggered. And so she pretty much, I can guarantee you, because, you know, it's an issue of giving feedback and her receiving feedback. It's all an issue of how feedback is received and given in the culture of the marriage up until this point. It's an issue of marital culture. So she doesn't feel safe. You can be pretty much sure. But like, you build in the safety. It's like, hey, honey, I know I haven't received feedback. I've actually, you know, be honest. It's like, hey, honey, I actually for years I've always thought of like your feedback as just stinging criticism, and that I always had a negative thing and I've avoided. But I want to turn this around as a man. I know that there's certain things that if they're bugging you, man, like I'm your husband. I want to be a king, and I want to like take radical ownership of, you know, these things. So what's the feedback that you'd most love to give me? What are the the simple changes in how I show up as a man, how I'm speaking, how I'm behaving around the house. There, you know, go to the high flame, maybe not for the first conversation, but in the bedroom, as a husband, you know, in the practicalities and the running of the admin of the house, etc., etc. Where do you want to give me feedback? Man, when she gets to land one piece of feedback to you and realize you mean business and you take it on board, you receive it, you listen to her, you get curious, you probe, you ask, is that the fullness? And then you get curious, it's like, well, how would that look like? What would be a successful turnaround of this? You know, if I showed up, I just used a spontaneous example that came in this episode already. It's like, hey, honey, if I realize that I'm going to be late, you know, is it a successful turnaround for you if I message you 10 minutes before my end of day that I'm meant to be ending, if I know it's already, or do you need more time? She could be like, then it's in her court. She's like, hey, honey, like, I don't mind you being late, but it's just you didn't message. So, man, if you can message me 10 minutes before, I mean, that's okay. Or she could tell me, no, I need at least half an hour because, hey, I have responsibilities. I have to organize the girls going off to volleyball and I have my own thing. So if at all possible, I needed half an hour, if not 45 minutes beforehand, if that's possible. But like, hey, honey, 10 minutes before, if it's a spontaneous thing, 10 minutes before is better than no message at all. Yeah, that would be okay. Now you're working together. Now she's feeling safe. Now she's like, oh my God, this man in front of me, instead of avoiding it for the last 10, 20 years, he's for the first time ever proactively going, what's the feedback? I want it. I'm relaxed. I'm making this safe for you, my beautiful queen, and for me as a king. I'm going to take this on board and I'm committing to, you know, just show up, showing progress and presence. I don't know if ye guys listening in, if ye can really tap into how this would transform everything for your wife. If there's a woman listening into this, and I know sometimes there is, a woman, a beautiful queen, a goddess in some marriage, undoubtedly, if you've been triggered by the title, I'm pretty sure, and like, dare I say, I know you'd, like, my wife would fucking, would go, I'm never predictable, but I can pretty much know from my own beautiful queen. I mean, when I started like hunting down proactively feedback, looking for it, making it safe, to the point of which now that, man, if I screw up and fuck up in the moment, she can feel that like by and large 99% of the time. And if I'm out of integrity, like as soon as possible, I come up, I clean up my breach of integrity, I get the feedback. I ended up doing it yesterday. I got to last night, I was reading Buddhist teachings that really dropped me into the depth of how I was out of integrity in that morning. She knows. I not only will seek feedback, but if I don't, I will go above and beyond to come back into integrity. She was smiling. We went off to bed. She was feeling so soft and loved. Because why? I read Buddhism. I made a joke about it. It's like, just to tell you, it's like, it just happened last night. I made a joke with her. It's like, oh, goddamn, this like Buddhist philosophy. She started smiling. She's like, why? Oh, it's just, you know, really drops me into how out of integrity I actually was during that conversation earlier on in the day. And she smiled. She loved it. It's like, you want feedback, guys. Without feedback, you're not going to show up and show progress as a man. So there's already a ton. If you put into practice already, clean up the breaches of integrity and stop the defensive avoidance and attack it. Go for the feedback. Outside of conflict, go for the feedback. Already, there's probably enough evidence to your woman that she's not going to just do the default dumping, like the library, the filing cabinet of negative past memories at you. Probably. However, I want a full complete answer for this amazing man that sent in this, and I want a full complete context for you guys because this is a really common thing. Number 3, practice self-aware, holding your structure. And this might be a new term. In deep men's work, we'd speak about this. The masculine practice is holding structure. The opposite of structure is going into collapse. And I'm going to give you, like I've done this before, there's, for me, in my systematic way at going at masterful marriage communication, there's five key points of self-mastery. The sixth one is speech. It's very closely linked, but there's the inner world self-mastery is stillness. You know, when, and like touch base with yourselves, guys. Get radically honest. Rip no sugarcoating on this. You're not here to impress the world. You know, just remain radically honest. When you're in these moments of arguments and she gives you feedback or, you know, you're there, you feel it's criticism, etc. What's happening in your body at that time? Do you have a point of stillness where you're aware of your breathing? You're aware of changes in your breathing. But there's a still point within you that there's some witnessing awareness, noticing with impeccable presence all of these inner world things of your thoughts and your shape, your posture, your emotional shifts and changes, you know, how you're moving, how your eyes are moving as you're communicating with your woman. Do you have that level of mastery? That is structure. From a point of stillness, you're aware, your sight, you become aware where you're a void. I mean, you look at the clock, you look at the door. That's speaking your intentionality to get the fuck out of there. Or like looking at the clock, when will this goddamn conversation end? But you become aware. You become aware, you'll actually speak it. I would speak that with my queen now. It's like, I've just caught myself looking at the door. Yeah, that's a Freudian slip. That's exactly what I'm trying to run from this feedback. She smiles. I'm present. I'm aware. Recognizing your shape. Your posture. Are your arms crossed? Are your fists clenched? Are you gritting? Are you grinding your teeth? Are your jaws tight? You know, have you collapsed? As in, are you in a slump posture? You're listening, but you're beating the shit out of yourself. Again, story. Do you end up, you know, blaming your woman internally or externally when you speak? Or are you shaming yourself? That's all about collapse. You know, you've lost any awareness of breath. Your eyes are avoiding. You're not looking at your woman. If you are, you're looking at her. You're looking at her attacking a tent like I'll chop your head off. If you're not, you're looking at the door. You're looking stonewalling. You're just looking at one point as she blabbers on and you're just disconnecting from her. Your shape, you're slumped. You've no awareness. That's collapse. Holding structure in these moments of conflict. This is a bit more, okay, I gave the bird's eye view to clean up the whole thing. It's like a whole life approach. But this is how you would show up. Dear heroic husband that sent in this. My direct thing is, you know, answering how do I keep her on point for the disagreement we're having? Well, if you don't do the other stuff or, you know, you're still, there's going to be quite the pattern. How you show up when there is a disagreement will determine your power of positive influence with your beautiful queen in that moment. If she feels that you're holding your masculine structure and you remain breathing down into your tummy, you remain aware of your sight, that you're not like staring her out of her or you're not avoiding her with your eyes, so you remain a soft, loving gaze, irrespective of, you know, the seven shades of shit that she might be expressing, because why? She could be royally pissed. There's a pattern of 10 or 20 years of you avoiding feedback on top of her own wounds. Of course, that's always omnipresent. But if you remain, you know, grounded, a loving gaze her direction, and your shape, you know, you're aware and you keep an open, you're facing her. If you're sitting, you're standing, you're upright, your heart is open, you don't have any communication, you know, body language of arms folded, clenched, you remain with your muscles quite relaxed, you know, you're relaxed, you're fully there. And your story, I mean, this can take a bit of practice and courage in the beginning, but you can actually smile and go, hey, man, honey, you're not safe in the moment. There's a lot of blame thoughts. Excuse me, I didn't actually hear what you were saying there. There was tons of old pattern blaming thoughts, or I was beating the shit out of myself. My mind got so caught. My inner critic got so caught beating the shit out of myself. I didn't actually hear what you said there. Can you repeat? You show presence. You're remaining in your structure. You're safe for her. Holding that structure, and I know this might seem like a quantum leap from where you probably have been showing up at this point, to where I'm inviting you, but man, this is just like an entire new way of being. So, I'm not, this answer, guys, it's a high level answer, but I mean, what the fuck? It's like, go read some memes off, you know, off social media. It's like, oh, you know, there's all this tidy shit out there so often from relationship coaches that aren't in the fucking thick. They don't know what you and I know of how intense the octagon of marriage is. The octagon where there is no referee and there's no buzzer that, what is it, like every 3 minutes around or 5 minutes around that buzzes that you get some respite, and after five rounds, I mean, it's job done. We don't get that. So if you want to go with the, you know, the social media nice meme sort of like, oh, that feels like fluttery and inspiring, go with it. It's not worth shit. This is it in the ground. This is like what works, but it's really deep. And it's brutally effective. When you have the courage and the humility to actually take it on board, see where you're at, recognize only by owning your 100% can you transform the relationship. Only by taking extreme ownership your side do you actually earn the right to inspire positive influence in the behavior of how your wife is showing up. Your wife yearns for you to show up with such self-mastery that she can finally feel safe and go, oh, thank God, because, you know, hurling all of that seven shades of shit all the time because I never feel I can trust this man in front of me. Thank God, because I'm so exhausted from always having to have my hard-ass side out. She's yearning for that moment. Might take her a while to soften into it with her wounds, with the pattern of you in marriage. But if you commit to showing up in the way I am, like, speaking to here, I can guarantee you, I'd actually challenge you, if you show up like this and you do it, like, you go all in for 30 days like this and there's no change, reach out to me directly, I will get on with you one-on-one and I will coach you through it. Because if this fails for you, I will hold myself accountable. But I can pretty much guarantee I still will do it. Like, free gratis, I'll throw a coaching session out there. But I guarantee you, when I coach you, there's going to be areas of how you're showing up in stillness, sight, shape, story, how you're speaking, etc. I guarantee you that you're nowhere near 100% extreme ownership of the level I'm talking about. This is like Navy SEAL commander level. It's, you know, jiu-jitsu black belt. It's Tibetan Buddhist Lama level of self-mastery. Or definitely leaps towards it. The last point, and it's again like them all, it's very, very important, but I really want to have this as complete as possible for what is a deeply painful experience to be having in marriage. Again, like what I was saying in the beginning, it's fucking really painful. This is why I'm really passionate at supporting all of you guys, man that has directly requested this, but it's going to help so many guys. The last one, and maybe this might be the most important one. Maybe, you know, for some guys listening in, this might be the first port of call. I would encourage every man listening in to seek support in finding your core, what I call your core of ferocious self-love and acceptance. We can only love others in proportion to how we can love and accept ourselves. It's one of these brain fuck truths of like psychotherapy, of high level mystical teachings, etc. It's the type of thing that like you hear and you go, oh, that's bullshit. Like it's like, oh, go fuck off with that. Like, you know, oh, I need to love and like my wife. It's easier to just go, my wife is just a fucking bitch the way she shows up in conflict. End of story. You know, Mark, you know, like cut the shit that I'm not loving and accept myself. I mean, I love and accept myself, but like, she's just like a fucking bitch. You know, like, she just fucking throws whatever old shit my way. It's hurtful. It's this, it's that. It's like, it's nothing to do with my self-love and acceptance. I'm like, okay. And the next question is, how's that working out for you? You know, if you oversimplify it, like, how's that working out for you? If you're not getting the results that you're desiring in your relationship with your woman, you're a driving creator of that. And a guaranteed part is the most challenging thing in deep, intimate relating in marriage is that it tests the foundation or lack of a foundation of our capacity to love and accept ourselves. And having support in that arena as a man is a phenomenal thing. I spoke last week, and I've been diligently doing a ton of this. I'm super excited. I had my business mastermind, and like the guys were supporting me, and just how to structure the whole thing. So I'm building up the launch of the Be the Husband She Brags About, and I'm going to call it the Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. They've been the most transformative thing in my entire marriage. Without men's circles, I wouldn't be here, you know, having the radical confidence in the turnaround and the transformation that I've had. I still fall flat in my face like I did yesterday. It took me 11 hours to actually finally come through, but it was taking me 11 years previously to come to 12 years to come to radical humility. 11 hours ain't so bad, and a lot of the times it's 11 seconds, you know, so there's massive improvement. My wife is feeling infinitely better and safer around me. Part of our challenges now comes because we're expanding in business. We're making big lifestyle changes because we're feeling inspired. There's no end to the challenge of life. That's the beauty of life. But having a brotherhood of support behind me where on a regular basis, I'd go to my men's group. And a bit like in this situation, like instead of, you know, and it's super valuable, I actually want you guys, but you know, instead of, you know, the man sending in this message, it was a relatively short message, super concise, amazing. I hope there was some sense of relief. The old saying really works. It's like a problem shared is a problem halved. There's a sense of relief. It's like, you know, when you ask for support, I mean, you feel supported. And this response will support, but there's nothing that can substitute being in a bunch of men and heroic husbands. Those circles are going to be men that are doing the same thing, really ambitious guys that want and have a deep, unapologetic desire to create a fantastic marriage, an amazing love life, to have your whole entire married life working beautifully and expanding, that you're on fire. But a lot of that is like learning to love and accept yourself. And when you start repeatedly, you know, learning that, man, I keep showing up with these sacred men and this sacred circle, and it's facilitated in a way where, man, I'm loved and I'm accepted no matter what. It's like, yeah, I speak into the space. It's like, oh, my wife hammers the shit out of me and all of this. And you get validated, you get respect, you get love and acceptance, and you get challenge. You get a lot of challenge in it as well. But your nervous system starts going, you know, slowly but surely, I'm not such a bad guy here. And you start, like, your roots start going down into the center of the earth. You're like, not only am I not such a bad guy, I'm a fucking powerful guy. And, you know, when you repeatedly come in on a weekly basis to a powerful bunch of guys, and every guy is, you know, challenging each other, but loving and accepting each other, and there's this incredible bond of brotherhood, miracles happen. Your nervous system starts identifying, man, I'm the shit. I'm not only am I a powerful man, I'm a beautiful man. I have a lot to offer here. And your nervous system takes this back into your marriage, and your wife feels safer. You naturally start feeling infinitely more prepared progressively to ask for feedback, to receive spontaneous feedback, to remain in structure, because your nervous system is not avoiding this anymore. Because why? On a weekly basis, you go to the dojo of Deep Men's Inner Work, you go to your men's circle, and you know, you speak about the things that are real, and vicariously you look and hear other guys owning up to their shit, and that just inspires you to go, man, you know, being vulnerable, being humble and honest, this brings about massive progress. I love this game. It actually becomes quite addictive. I know the flow expert, oh man, what's his name? Stephen Kotler. He talks about that. Like, it becomes, from a neurophysiological perspective, it becomes addictive in a beautiful sense, because you get into flow in life, the highest state of being. You're like, and flow in marriage, You mightn't think that's possible, but when you start loving, ferociously loving and accepting yourself more and more, you're like, you're getting good with yourself. It's like you've screwed up in the past. You've had unchecked shame. You had, every guy has an inner critic. Like the vast majority of guys will say it fucking beats the shit out of themselves. They've never expressed that or owned that. They thought it was just themselves. You start realizing, man, every single guy out there has that, and they have their own inner demons. You're human. So you start just allowing yourself show up with more confidence, more clarity, more compassion and love, and your wife feels that. And when you start relating with yourself with more self-love and acceptance and trusting yourself and respecting yourself, from there, naturally, your nervous system will treat others the way it treats itself. You know, if you don't have trust in yourself, you won't trust others. If you can't love yourself, you struggle to love others. It's this psychotherapeutic brain fuck of a truth. It's like, yeah, it's true. It's inconveniently true. So the fourth part, this is an umbrella. It's like you need to get a foundation under you. And this answer, you know, it's like we're recording time. It's about an hour. Unapologetically, it's as complete an answer to keep it being valuable and not too outlandish to just, you know, go too general. There's tons of meaning and value in this. As I say, coming into landing here, if you commit now and you journaled and like you journaled all the different points down in this and you listened to this episode again and again and again and you kept deepening your practice off it and you used this one episode as your resource and you kept owning and you kept coming back to it, you know, cleaning up your breaches of integrity from the past, stopping your defensive avoidance, and you start like proactively seeking full flame feedback, your woman already would be feeling amazing. You like, you taking extreme ownership, getting curious, understanding more completely your woman's perspective, and practicing self-awareness and holding your structure. That in itself, you know, would change everything. But man, there's no accountability in that. And realistically speaking, you know, no matter how powerful the podcast episode, no matter how powerful the book, it's regular practice. It's regular practice and training. And that's why the Heroic Husbands men's circles, I can guarantee you, like, they're going to become, they're already energetically, psychologically, this core part of this movement going forward. I want to see hundreds, if not thousands, of men's circles around the planet where heroic husbands come in. You have a sacred space where you can, you know, share what's on your heart. A problem shared is a problem to have, but then get like radical direct feedback, you know, validation, respect, honoring for where you're at, the deep, intense challenge it is, the unique challenge it is. Being a husband in today's world is like one of the most challenging leadership roles on the planet at the moment. I don't think it is ever more challenging. So guys, you got to be prepared. And preparing yourself, man, getting yourself into a men's circle, definitely the Heroes Husband Circle. I can tell you, it's going to be world class what's going to be happening in there. I'm putting my whole heart and soul into it. And you can feel my passion here. But it's like, those initial groups, they're going to be facilitated directly by me. The long-term vision is I'm going to be training other guys, and while I can pretty much fucking guarantee you, they're going to be absolute fucking powerhouses. I'm not going to have guys ever facilitating groups, no matter how long-term, that haven't earned the right and are not absolutely like just fucking rocks of presence and progress in their own marriage, in their own life. But the initial groups, you get in early now, I mean, they're going to be facilitated by me direct, and I'm going to bring the full fire of love and challenge and everything that's good about life. I want you falling in love with yourself again, accepting yourself, but falling in love with the idea that your marriage is the most beautiful invitation to self-mastery and enlightenment, ultimately, that you have in your existence. It's the most beautiful arena of your existence. We've been bombarded with bullshit messages about marriage. You know, your wife is the ball and chain. I spoke to this shit before. It's all bullshit. It's all conditioning to separate society. I have lots of high flame things I could say, but it's like these men's circles are going to be regrounding in your identity as being a heroic husband, a hero for yourself, a hero for your wife, for your kids if you have them, a hero for your community, and a hero for humanity, because coming into Landing. Why a hero for humanity? Because better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Kingly brothers, heroic husbands around the planet, go have an amazing, self-loving, self-accepting, beautiful kingly day.